Hi, Mort.
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Peter. I'm
Hello,
in
Peter.
a long ranger program. How are you today?
Excellent, thank you.
Okay, I got a question for you. My question is, it's kind of hard to ask without actually telling you a little bit about it. My wife is a very stubborn person, and she's kind of a ask first, I mean, do first
Wait,
and ask
I
questions
wish
later.
I'd like to take a poll and find out if anybody here thinks that their husband and wife is not stubborn.
Well, I mean, and well, she's very like.
I only have people in the program whose husbands or wife is stubborn.
Well, she's very controlling, and throughout our marriage, I'm a laid back person. So to me, it seemed like it worked very well because if she wanted to do something, I would let her do it, and that's how it was throughout the whole marriage. That means that she was making a lot of the decisions. One of her reasons why she wants this divorce now is that she's saying that she feels like she has four kids. We have three kids, and she says that I was like the fourth kid. Now, since I found out about this, and since she asked for the marriage, I've started changing. I started making decisions and everything. And she asked me to help her with the paperwork, like you were just saying, to finish this up. And I told her that I'm not going to do it because I believe in us. I think we're soulmates. We belong together and stuff like that. And to her, it seems like it's just reinforcing this thing to her that I can't make decisions and making it worse. So my
Look,
question is, how do I combat that? How do I make her realize that I am, working on this, and how do I not make her think that I'm like just totally oblivious to this whole thing? And I'm like, right now she probably thinks I'm a little psycho because I do everything in a positive way.
right. I hear you. I get your question. It's kind of first of all, let me say two things that might be helpful. First of all, and this goes for everybody in the Lone Ranger track, very important principle, very important idea, very important thing to keep in mind, which is you cannot trust what your spouse says. If you're dealing with an obstinate spouse, what they say is not credible. And in many cases, it won't be true. The obstinate spouse, in my experience, doesn't say what they're really thinking and feeling. What they very often say is whatever it is they think they need to say to accomplish whatever it is they're trying to accomplish. So your wife is trying to get you to behave in a certain way, to concede to her agenda, to go along with her. Don't analyze everything that she's saying as if it is true and needs to be sort of answered or addressed in that way. You're never going to win that argument. You're never going to explain it to her in a way that she's going to say, "Oh, I get it. Now I see it." Because it's not like she actually has a real opinion or feelings about it. She just has something she's trying to accomplish. And what she's saying is what she thinks is going to help her accomplish it. So any verbal response to that, your effort to try to dialogue with her, while you think it might bring some resolution, I can almost guarantee you it will not bring resolution. It will not be helpful. It'll just end up spiraling into an argument because you're just never going to convince her. She doesn't want to be convinced. It's not even that she's holding an opinion. What she's holding is an objective. And there's a difference. This relates to another very important principle that's worth bringing out here, very important, which is generally speaking, in these situations, it's important to say little and do much. Speak in the vocabulary of your actions. Thank God I've had a chance to be part of thousands of successful reconciliations. I can honestly tell you, I have never seen a couple successfully reconcile because of a conversation they've had, because of something that somebody said to another. Marriages don't change because of what you say. Marriages change because of what you do. Marriages change because people change. That's why when you got married, you said, "I do," because it's what you do that really determines the quality of your marriage, and in this case, the success or failure of your attempted reconciliation. That's why, by the way, and once again, here I'm giving some advice that I know most of you have already broken, but again, don't beat yourself up about that. Just don't do it again. That's why you shouldn't write these long letters. One of the first things people do when they find themselves in marital crisis, they sit down at the computer if they try to get their spouse to sit down on the couch, let's talk about this, right, as if that's going to resolve it. And if they can't get their spouse to sit down, or if the talk doesn't do anything, which it never does, then they're going to sit down at a computer, they're going to write a 5, 10, 15-page letter, and they're going to get it all out, and they're somehow, I don't know what they think is going to come out of it, but I can just tell you from experience that nothing good ever comes out of those letters. Don't write them. The only letter you should write, this is a whole other conversation, I'm just going to refer to this, the one in the context of the How to Apologize Effectively exercise, which is on CD 5 or 6 of the That's What I Was Going to Ask CD set. That's a whole other discussion. But other than that letter, which is really in preparation for a discussion, you shouldn't be writing letters to your spouse. It never works. Words don't work. Words don't work. Now, don't get confused with, you know, my advice to do talk charges and to have other sorts of conversations. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to your spouse. When I say words don't work and when I say little, do much, I'm talking about the words about the problems, the issues, the marriage, the divorce, the other man, the other woman, etc. Don't talk about it. You're never going to talk your way out of something that you behaved yourself into. You're essentially asking here, Peter, like, how do I respond to that? And what you're asking me to do is to sort of analyze what your wife is saying and to give you the response that will help you win the discussion. But I'm coming at your question from a different angle. You know, I don't think it's worth analyzing because I don't believe it's something that she's really thought through and feels deeply about, you know, in her gut. Instead, it's not that she has an opinion, it's that she has an objective. And she's going to say whatever she needs to say to try to accomplish that objective. And therefore, you shouldn't respond to it. Look, let me say something else related. Trying to reconcile a marriage is not like playing a ping pong match. In ping pong, which I happen to love, by the way, if I hit you the ball, you got to hit back. And if you don't, you lose. People think trying to reconcile a marriage is like a ping pong match. Mort, my wife said this. Why do I respond? Mort, my husband asked me this. How should I answer? Well, why do you have to answer or respond at all? King David said, silence is a fence to wisdom. It takes great wisdom to know when to be silent, when to say nothing, when to not answer the question, when not to engage, because you just know that there is no way that you're going to get through this conversation in a way that's going to be productive for your reconciliation. You have to be smart enough to see that this conversation is going nowhere. That's why sometimes I get those questions, and the tone of the question is like, come on, Mort, let me see if you can get me out of this one. This just looks impossible. And you're right. It is impossible. And that's why my advice is not how to respond to the question or the comment. My advice is just diffuse it. Don't respond. Don't answer. Don't go there. It's not going to be good. Now, I do also just want to say, just for your own comfort, Peter, you should not share this with your wife. But based on the little bit you shared with me, I find it somewhat ironic that she says that this is another example of you not being able to make a decision. This is another example of you sort of being wishy-washy and just being easygoing and going with the flow and a conflict avoider and a people pleaser. I mean, I understand the personality type that you are and that she probably, you know, is claiming that you are. But that personality type, if it was more of the same, would be doing just the opposite. I mean, what you're doing is you're taking a stand. You're actually making a decision. And you are finding the courage to have a voice about something. I think that her claim is that all of this time, you haven't really had a voice. You haven't really taken initiative. She never really knew what you thought or what your opinion was. You never gave any input. You didn't, you know, make a big contribution. You were like another child, from her perspective, you know, that didn't have input, that didn't take initiative, to, you know, somebody else that was just needed to sort of be taken care of. Now you're stepping up and saying, wait a second, this is something I stand for. This is something I believe in. You know, this is a hill I'm willing to die on. To me, there's a great irony in her seeing that and suggesting that that's more of the same. I would say it's the exact opposite of the way you've described yourself before, and I commend you for that change, and you should stick with it.